We good? Anytime? Okay. Well, good morning, Shawnee Hills. This is different, and yet I'm glad we can do at least this much this morning and continue our service through social distancing, and more importantly, that Pastor Adam is able to candidate today. So I just want to begin with just a couple of announcements. As you probably know, we will not be gathering physically at all this week and through next Sunday. That's in compliance with what we believe is wise and safe for everybody. Next Sunday, we hope to do this again as far as a recorded or live stream Sunday morning service, and we will see just what the elements will be at this point, but we hope that perhaps the Kenya Mission Team is able to share next Sunday morning again via video. Another announcement is that by now you have either received your deacon nomination ballot or will be receiving that in the mail, and so those are out, but we know we need those returned. So if you could please have those back to the church building by mail or by drop-off no later than April 8th. We will receive them by then, but that is the deadline. We've extended the deadline to April 8th as opposed to April 5th, and so we would ask you to please comply with that and to work together to make that happen. The last announcement is that even though we're not meeting physically and corporately, the giving is still needed, and our financial responsibilities certainly continue, so we would encourage you to please mail in or drop off your tithes and offerings, and that will be of great benefit to the ongoing ministries of Shawnee Hills Baptist Church. I would like to share just a few prayer requests and then lead in prayer at this point in our service. Ruby Walton is at Miami Valley Hospital. She was admitted Thursday with fluid around her heart or congestive heart failure. And we would ask you to pray for Ruby. She'll be there at least through Monday. And word is right now that she probably needs a heart valve replacement, which is a very critical surgery for anybody, but especially for somebody Ruby's age. So that's not going to be done right now, but just pray for Ruby as she continues to have those physical challenges. But also ask you to pray for Paul and Emily Francisco as they are traveling to and back from Pennsylvania this weekend, taking their granddaughter Hannah back to her home in northeast Pennsylvania. And just pray that they will have travel safety and protection from the virus there and back. Would also ask for continued protection for all of us from the coronavirus, and especially for our seniors and those with specific and existing health issues. Also, opportunities, I don't know that they abound, but opportunities are certainly around us daily to be witnesses for Christ and to redeem those opportunities in sharing the gospel and giving the hope of eternal life through faith in Christ. That is anti-virus truth. So we're grateful for that. The last thing I'll ask us to pray about is for God's will, wisdom, and knowing God's will for Pastor Adam and for Shawnee Hills Baptist Church as we go into today's candidating. And over the next 2 weeks, Pastor Adam has assured us and others that he's available for questions, phone calls, probably phone calls, better than personal visits at this point. If you have any questions beyond what you may hear answered this morning, but we certainly want God's will to be not just known, but embraced and ready to follow. So let me lead us in prayer. Father, we're thankful that even though we cannot be together physically, which is certainly our greatest desire, the intimacy is is lacking in that way, but we're thankful that we can connect in this way and reach out to one another and still have presence in that way. We believe that what we're doing and what we're following in terms of advice and directives is our duty. It's our responsibility. It's our obligation. So we're doing what we believe is best, and we also trust you to do what's best through this. And Father, we are leaning hard on you, not upon our own understanding. Our own understanding is lacking, and we need wisdom from above. And so we pray, Father, that which is first of all pure and peaceable and open to reason, Father, all these things would just be given to us as we ask. You tell us we can ask if we lack wisdom, and we do, and it will be given to us generously, and it will. So we thank you for that. Father, we pray specifically for a couple of our family members right now, our Shawnee Hills family members. We think of Ruby Walton, and we're thankful that she's getting the care she needs. We pray, Father, she's also getting good protection. And Father, as she continues there at Miami Valley, that you would just help her and give her the medical care and attention that she stands in need of. And Father, if your will for her to be dismissed, discharged tomorrow, we pray that that would happen. But otherwise, Father, we certainly leave her in your hands to do what's needed. We think of Paul and Emily as they travel. And Father, wherever we go right now, the risk of exposure is there, and we just pray that you would protect them on the roads and as they are with others, even family members, and on their way home. Father, may your hand be upon them. Lord, we at the same time pray for the protection, continued protection for all of us from the coronavirus, and also and especially for those who are seniors in that 65-plus age category. Father, it's hard to stay home. It's hard to be sheltered. And yet at the same time, it's what's best. And so I pray, Father, that you would give grace and patience and just, again, help us to know, so now what can we do? And what is available to us? What would you have us to do in terms of just daily disciplines that would fortify us spiritually and build our faith? And then, Father, we also pray for opportunities that are ours, probably by Facebook or by phone call, not necessarily in person, but, Father, to share the gospel, to redeem the time that you've given us, to share the gospel, to give the hope of eternal life. Help us to be quick to seize those opportunities. Lastly, Father, I pray for Pastor Adam. I pray, Father, that you would just continue to give him a large dose of patience and perseverance as he and the rest of us continue in this candidating experience. Father, may today just prove to be very, very helpful to all of us and just another step in the process of knowing your will, embracing your will, doing your will. Father, we want there to be unmissable confirmation in and through all that is done today and over the next 2 weeks, and as we move toward a vote, Father, that will happen in due time. So, Lord, we ask your blessing upon Pastor Adam as he preaches the word today, and we thank you for your word and for your servant, your messenger. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'm going to read the passage that Pastor Adam will be preaching this morning, Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 16. This is the Word of God. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And saying, he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. And, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not how we had intended to gather, but we're gathered. And in the Lord's providence, whenever it is you might be watching this, whether it's on the day that it's put out, whether it's many days later, whether you're a member of our church or whether you are catching us online one way or another, we're glad that we can talk about Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 16 together. Our goal is to cheerlead Jesus Christ, to praise him, to brag about him, to put our boast in him, proclaim him, so that we can present you mature in him. None of us could have guessed about all the change we would face this month or in these last couple of weeks, but the Lord has graciously prepared our church family if we were listening to the word. In February, Pastor Dave started us off in a series about change, and we were thinking transition and change would relate to our pastoral transition and leadership changes here, among other things, and yet we've had changes much bigger or much more pervasive as an entire country, as an entire civilization, and yet the word still counts. The word's still true. It prepared us from Joshua 1, how to go through change, trusting in the strength of the Lord Jesus and what he does. And then as we went into March, we started a series called First Things First, and I've been preaching on this. This is week 4, and if you haven't heard the other 3 messages, what I was bringing to bear upon us as a church family was there are things that change, yes, and we are constantly changing. But there are also things that even if you go through a transition as a church, a leadership transition, or any change as a church, there are some things that never change. And they're good things, things that we can rely upon. So in week 1, we looked at one of those unchanging things. Jesus deserves first place in our hearts, in our homes, and in our holy assemblies. That never changes. Today, he deserves first place in your heart and in your home where you might be watching this and worshiping together as a family. And in this holy assembly, which is not the assembly we would prefer, but it's the assembly that we have. And thank the Lord that we have technology to make that possible. Then we learn that Jesus brings salvation to our sin and separation. That was week 2. We looked at the fact that we are all separated from God because of our sins, and we can't change that separation. We rebelled against him, and we'll keep rebelling against him unless God makes a way to forgive us and to change us so that we don't want to be rebels anymore. Jesus is the answer to that, to both problems. Only Jesus brings salvation to our sin and separation. That is true today, and it will always be true. Nothing changes that. Last week, we talked about the unchanging reality that Jesus' word, the Bible, is our first concern and our final authority. That when we face trials like the ones that we're all in, and when you face the trials that are specific to this particular situation, because we're all facing challenges that are unique, as well as the one that we all share, God's word has to be the first place we go to find answers. And what answers we find in Scripture must be our final authority. Nobody gets to overrule what God commands. And God commands good things. This week, we want to think about another unchanging truth, a first thing, a matter of first importance, something that should always be high in our priority. I would use the word ironically, but I'm going to use the word providentially. God has planned this day to talk about the importance of being together as a body of Christ. And again, this is not the way that I would have ever thought we should talk about being together. But maybe you're feeling the importance today more than you're acknowledging the importance mentally. Maybe you're feeling the distance, as I feel the distance between here and the camera. It's okay. We're weak. We're frail. We're subject to go through those feelings. But I want us to look at Ephesians 4, and we're only going to be able to briefly look at it, but you've got time. I'm sure you don't have anything else to do unless you're one of our faithful first responders or those who are in the medical fields, those in government that are serving us in so many other ways or working in essential businesses. I have the feeling you're going to have some time. And I would encourage you to go to these 16 verses and plug in and talk about them with your family and pray to God about them. But as we look at these, I want us to see this important unchanging truth. Jesus wants us to walk with him together. Jesus wants us to walk with him together. He never designed the Christian life to be a private, isolated, independent journey. Now, we believe the Bible teaches what we might call individual soul liberty, meaning that every human being must individually answer to God for his or her own life. And that's true, and it doesn't contradict what I just said or what the Bible teaches about togetherness. What I'm saying is God has put the system in place to where you cannot become a mature follower of Jesus. You cannot mature in Christ on your own. You need me. I need you. We need each other. So the walk that we have, the steps we take as believers in Christ are to be taken together. And it's a beautiful thing. It's what we see in Ephesians 4. It's what you would see in Colossians 3. It's what you would see in 1 Peter. It's what you would see in Hebrews 10. It's what you would see in the book of James as people were scattered, and yet he's talking about them being together and living life together. God wants us to walk with him together. And if physical situations prevent physical gathering or physical togetherness, it doesn't mean that we're not together. Take it from one who met his wife and went for years through a long-distance relationship. We talked by the phone. We wrote letters. We emailed. It could not measure up to being together physically. But we grew. And we just had to be creative. And God blessed that time. I think God will do that for us as a church. So, I want to share three key truths about Jesus and what he's doing to bring us and keep us together. Then I want to share two ways that we should respond, two steps that we can take, our first steps in the Lord. What could those be in response to what Jesus is doing and has done for us? So the first key truth is that Jesus brings the church together. Jesus brings the church together. In the very first verse of chapter 4, he says, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." You see, Jesus is the one who's invited us. The word calling means an invitation. Jesus called us. We didn't ask for him. He came and called us, and then we responded. What did he call us to? What is this calling that we're to walk in a worthy way about? Well, if we were to read the first three chapters of Ephesians, we would see that he called us to eternal life. Because again, we were separated from God by our sins, by the way that we lived against him. And yet his mercy provides a way to pay for our sins, and his grace provides a way for us to live a new life. So that, as Ephesians 2 would say, we're saved by grace through faith And it's faith in the Lord Jesus, not in our own works. None of us have anything to boast about ourselves. We could boast in Jesus, though, because he rescued us. And now that we're created new in Christ Jesus, we can walk in a whole new way. So he called us to eternal life. In verse 4 of chapter 4, it says that we have one hope that belongs to that call. He's invited us to hope in him, that eternal life is coming in good time when Jesus delivers it. And he will never fail to deliver it to those who trust him. And so Jesus wants us to walk in a manner that shows that we believe we've been called by him. In verses 2 and 3, Jesus brings us together, first of all, by separating us from ourselves. He calls us to step away from ourselves. If you look at the manner in which we're to walk in verses 2 and 3, he lays out 5 qualities. And if you think about these 5 qualities, every one of them requires a relationship with somebody else to be determined. You don't know what humility is until you're relating to something or to someone. And in all of these 5 qualities, it requires us to put away self-rule. The idea that the church is about me, or people are about me, or God is about me. All of those things have to be put away. And God, by his Spirit, helps us do that. I'm not going to labor through all of these qualities in a long time, but I want to rapid fire them if I can, and say that the 5 ways that he calls us to walk away from self-rule are humility, which, Lord willing, Pastor Dave will expand on that as we go into April 5th from another text of Scripture. He says, with all gentleness, that's the word for meekness. It means a quiet confidence in God, a quiet confidence in Jesus. I don't have to argue everything. I don't have to win everything. I don't have to be first in everything. I know who I am in Christ. I know who Christ is. So when I relate to you, I should hopefully walk in a way that doesn't have to fight, but is quietly confident in Jesus, sharing his truth, living his truth, relying upon him. Patiently, it says we're to do this with all patience. Getting to the finish line alone is failure. Getting to the finish line alone is failure. What I mean by that is, I used to have a friend in college I ran with, and he's a good friend. And I would run with him, and we would start together, and that was about it. Because he would just, boom, take off. And he never looked behind. He never slowed his pace to catch up with little old me. He never did any of that. So it wasn't very long before when he said, hey, you want to go run? It was like, no, I can run by myself anytime. You know, he got to the finish line alone. And I didn't appreciate the experience. I preferred to run with people who would stay at my pace or help me go with them. God has called us to walk with him together, meaning Jesus is maturing us together. It's not about coming to church so that the church can feed me and grow me and bless me and make me what I think I should be in Christ. It's about me serving God by serving others that God has put into the church family and helping them grow in Christ too, so that we get to the finish line together, patiently. Enduringly, we are to do this by bearing with one another, because God is smart enough to know that if we live together long enough, we're going to have friction, and we're going to have tension and conflict, and we're just going to be different people, different personalities. We have to bear up with one another patiently. That's a gift, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Enduringly, again, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The key word here that I want to really focus on is eagerly. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Eager. Leaning into our fellowship that we share as a church family. Jesus put us on this path of life together. Be eager to join in on it. Be eager to share life, which is hard right now. And then again, this is testing our fellowship. And I hope that, like me, as I'm wanting to lean into you, you'll lean into me and we'll lean into each other and we'll grow together as a church family during this time. Jesus brings us, the church, together. In verses 4 to 6, he lays out 8 unifying truths, 8 things that have already true, that already put us together. Again, I'm not going to look at all of these. I just want to look at one. I'd encourage you to look at 2 each day. If there's 8, you could do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Take a day and look at 2 of these things that are true about us as being part of God's family. The one I want us to see is right away in verse 4. He says, there is one body. It's an interesting word, body. It's a word that that Jesus uses to describe what the church is. It's of all the images, of all the imagery, analogies that are used in the New Testament to describe the church, body is the most common. We see that he uses the word kingdom, that we are part of the kingdom of God. Kingdoms are big. We see that he calls us a family. We're part of the household of faith. Those, John chapter 1, those who believe in Jesus, God has given the right to become children of God. Galatians 4, by faith in Jesus Christ, we receive adoption as sons. So we're part of a family too, a household of God. That's intimate. That's way more intimate than kingdom. We're all learning that right now, right? We're part of America, but most of us are in our homes with our families. But even more intimate is body. Because if somebody on the other end of the continent is having a hard day, I can feel for them, but there's not much more I can do. And maybe I don't even know they exist. If someone in my family is struggling, that's hard, but I might not be able to get to them. I might not be able to physically be with them. There are times in the day where I'm not thinking about them. Just being honest, I don't think about my mom 24/7 or my dad 24/7. I think about them often, but not all the time. But if I have a sore throat, or if I have something in my toe that's sticking in there, a thorn, if I have a problem, a pain in my stomach or a headache, it's occupying my attention and time. The body is intimate. And Jesus calls the church his body. That means he takes very personally what's going on in our hearts and lives. So calling us to be part of the church is not calling us to some institution that's lifeless and formless. He's calling us into his body. And since you and I are finite and can only occupy one place in space and time, we join together as a local church, a localized expression of his body that he personally cares for and calls us to personally care for. What's happening to you spiritually should affect me. What happens to me spiritually should affect you. And we should be eager to lean in on that. Jesus brings us together. The reason we should be part of a local church is because that's what Jesus wants. That's why he died for you, to put you into his body, to show you who he is and what the grace of God is like. Jesus wants us to walk with him together. Jesus also builds the church together. He brings the church together. He builds the church together. In verses 7, pretty much through 13, 14, he shows ways that Jesus is building up the church. He's doing that. Now, we're not going to look at all of them. There's some interesting verses in the middle that you might struggle with about Jesus leading captivity captive and ascending and descending. And our time doesn't permit us to walk through those details, but I'd love to talk more about that with you if you're ever interested. You'd be free to email or call me. What I want you to see is the bigger pattern. First, there is grace given to each person according to the measure of Christ. Whatever Christ wants us to have in terms of abilities and gifts so that we can bless each other, he gives those. He gives those. If you are spiritually gifted, if the Holy Spirit is arming you to serve people, Jesus did that. He is equipping us to be what he wants us to be. And then in verse 11, he gives us leaders. He gives us leaders. He builds the church by giving us spirit-filled leaders. The apostles we no longer have on this earth anymore. Some of them we have their doctrine because it's scripture, but we don't have them anymore. And the prophets, we don't have them anymore. Evangelists, depending on how you look at that term, we might have them, the trailblazers who bring the gospel where the gospel is not. And then the shepherds and teachers who come along the work of the evangelists and begin to settle the believers and strengthen the believers and help to grow them in Christ. Those evangelists, shepherds, or otherwise known as pastors and teachers, are gifts of God to the church to help the church be built up. And so the purpose of a pastor is to equip people to minister to each other, to love each other, to serve each other. You're supposed to have men who know God because they've walked with Jesus together with others. Now, having matured in that way, they're teaching others how to walk with Jesus together. So your decision about a pastor is no small decision, and my decision to follow God's lead into a pastorate is no small decision. Requires that none of us get what we want, but all of us surrender to what Jesus wants. and we do what he calls us to, wholeheartedly, eagerly, in accordance with the five qualities listed in verse 2 and in verse 3. Jesus builds the church. Now he gives the leaders after he has given the grace, and then he gives us each other. So everyone is employed. Everyone in the church is employed by Jesus to minister to one another. It says that the leaders, in verse 12, equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So you need your fellow members, because that's who Jesus gave you to make you more like Christ. And they need you because you're who he's put in their life to love them and to serve them so that they become more like Christ. That's God's plan. It's a good plan. It's overwhelming to us, but it's what God is good at. Jesus builds the church together. So do not forsake the local church. It is what we need to be like Christ, and he equips us to do our part. Now, as he brings us together, as Jesus builds us together, it's better than that. Jesus bonds us together. Bonds us together. In verses 15 and 16, I'll read them again. It says, rather, okay, so instead of just being immature and tossed around by every crazy thing that happens, and I think we've had some crazy things that have happened recently, right, as a culture, it says, rather than being tossed to and fro by things like that, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in him, grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Jesus, as the head, is bonding the church together as we serve one another in Christ, as we do what is a blessing to each other, as we give our best to bless each other in the name of the Lord. He causes a bond to happen that's inseparable because it's got his name all over it. So as you're put in and I'm put in and others are put in, the bond, the mortar that holds us together, according to these verses, is true love. Now, I'm not talking about true love that some movies talk about, or this romantic, ooey-gooey, Cupid-like thing. This is agape that is truthfully demonstrated, right? True love. When it says speaking the truth in love, what's weird about that in English is that the Greek idea is it's a verb out of a noun. It's a very uncomfortable thing to have to translate, because it's a noun, but it's put in a verbal form. Truth is a noun, but it's put in verbal form. So it could be read, truthing in love. Truthing in love. And it's true, meaning it's a love proven by action. It's a love proven by action. I truly love you. I will demonstrate that. And it has to be based on the objective truth of God's word, but it's demonstrated. It's lived out. So we grow by living out a true care for one another. It's been said people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. And there's an element of what's going on here. We care about each other, and it is demonstrated. And it's demonstrated in accordance with what God's word approves of. The bond is love that is truthful. And the love here, again, is not a romantic love. It's an agape love. It's a desire to give of yourself to bless another person. It's a selfless love. The desire to give of yourself to bless someone else. So if I'm being faithful to the text, it means I'm looking at my brothers and sisters in Christ that are part of our church family, and I'm thinking to myself, this person has a need. How can I give of myself, of what God has given me? How can I give that to bless them in the name of the Lord so that it results in them praising God? How can I do that? If I'm faithful to that, then I'm going to demonstrate truthing in love. And the more we love each other like this, the more we act this way toward one another, it just builds a credit in our relationship, a bond of experience in our relationship, and it gets stronger over time. I can't help but thinking, and I've not told him this, but I can't help but thinking, you know, Pastor Dave and I are going through a pastoral experience right now that for the rest of eternity will bond us, provided that we walk through it in agape love. And you and I, we are going through an experience that right now we're in it, but maybe 20 years from now, hopefully 20 years from now, we'll look back and half the church won't even know what it was because they weren't born yet or they were too little at the time. But those of us who walked through it love each other more because we walked through it together in agape love. And in all of eternity, if God gives us memory, it'll mark a special moment that we get to say, God, let us walk through that together to show how much his love really is valuable. So let us step up to that challenge of him bonding us for this. And right now, we're going to need to be creative. We're going to have to use creative thinking to act in agape-like ways, to demonstrate truthfully our love for one another. We're going to have to act in ways that maybe we've never acted before or just are not common to us. So let's get our hearts prepared for that. Let's not be picky about what people do to bless us. Let's be persistent in doing good. Let's put our attention on what we can do to bless others. Let's not be demanding of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's instead be dedicated to devotion to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's not be anxious about what we can't control or can't know. Let's be active in sharing what we can know from Scripture, the promises of God. He who called us is faithful. Let not your heart be troubled. Let your heart lean toward being together. And even as I've talked with many, and I feel it in my own bones, Lord willing, we'll have a day when we can really celebrate and appreciate what we all had and have and can have in Christ forever. Fellowship. Togetherness. So Jesus brings us together. Jesus builds us together. Jesus bonds us together. What do we do? What's our response to what Jesus is doing? If he's doing all these things, first of all, I think we should just stop and ask ourselves, has Jesus stopped this? Has this virus suddenly got him, I don't know how to bring them together anymore. I can't build them under these stressful conditions. I don't have a bond strong enough. Of course not. Jesus is still building his church. In fact, I believe this experience is going to cause people to turn to Jesus, experience eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus, and they will attribute that had this never happened, they would never have thought about Jesus. But now they're his child and part of our church. So he's not stopped. Jesus didn't go into quarantine. Jesus isn't socially distancing himself from us. Jesus is no, it's not like he's somehow no longer capable of bringing us and building us. He's just changing how in physical expression. That's it. He's not changing how in theological expression. He's just changing how we do it, how we respond. And so here's some responses. I have two. Submit and serve. Submit and serve. No matter what we're going through as a church, no matter what life is like, you can always submit to God and serve God's people. It just looks different how you do those things. So first of all, I would just urge you, if you're watching this, are you submitted to Jesus Christ? Have you placed your trust in him by repenting of your sins that were lived against him, asking for forgiveness from him, and asking him to change your life, to be your Lord? You can do that. You can talk to him right now and ask those things. If you're a believer, already, are you submitted to Jesus' leadership right now? Or is he bumping up against your self-rule? I would urge you in your heart to have a heart condition to submit yourself to the Lord and to submit yourself to the Word. He has called us to walk together with all these things, humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Will you ask God to give you those qualities in your heart towards your brothers and sisters? Are you eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit? It may take extra work to do it over distance physically, but are you eager to try to maintain it? Are you submitted to that? And if you are, how do you serve in that? How do we serve one another in that? Are you ready to serve each other in new and maybe creative ways? Just a few. Have you called someone this week? Have you written to somebody? Text, email, private message? Are you contacting each other? And just, you know, you don't have to call the whole church, but are you contacting one another? Do you have a directory at home? If you do, pray through a page every day with your family and privately for your church members. And maybe you'll see a name and you'll say, I haven't talked to them in a while. And call them. Use social media to build each other up. We could keep going in Ephesians 4 about speech. But use social media not to gripe or things like that, but to build each other up. And yes, to laugh so long as it's not at somebody else's expense. I think of the teens. They got together this week, Thursday, I think it was, on Zoom, and created a group and just had a good time. And they're planning it again. They're planning some more time together at the beginning of this week, just to laugh a little bit and to enjoy one another. Use those means to bring blessing to one another. We might have financial needs that come to our attention from our church body. We would communicate those with you as they come. Will we help if God's provided that gift to us to bless someone else? We'll communicate needs that of other kinds to you as we become aware of them. You can share them with us as a church. We'll try to keep people staying tuned. Let's be eager to think about the ways God has provided for us to serve each other this week and as long as God has us together. Beloved, Jesus has called us to walk with him together. And my prayer is that we would do that together. So let me pray for us now. Heavenly Father, none of this has escaped your attention nor your plans. We are the ones who don't know what's going on. We are the ones who are the grass that withers. We are the ones whose lives are but a vapor. We are the ones who are calling upon your will and upon your mercy to spare us, to heal those who are sick, to allow us to reunite physically that we might continue to worship you fully. And in the meantime, that you would grant us the patience to love you and to think of ways to serve others. We think particularly, Father, about those in our church family who work in the medical field, and they are working, 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 working. We have people that are preparing tests. We have people that are working as first responders, people who are serving those who are sick or preparing to serve those who will be sick. And so, Father, we ask your blessing upon their lives. We pray that you fortify them and give them endurance. We ask, Father, that you would grant us creative thinking and just ways to bless one another, little things and big things alike, to bless each other, to share that we love one another, that we're thinking about each other. You're our shepherd. You will take care of us. I pray that we will just be an extension of reaffirming that in one another's lives. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to prepare this video. We ask its blessing wherever you want it to go. And for those who hear, that all of us would be more confident in Jesus Christ. We turn to Jesus Christ to be our Savior from our sins, our resurrection from the dead, and our life. We love you, Father, because you first loved us, and you're still loving us. Thank you. Amen. We're going to put in our video some music, some singing, congregational singing. And we sent out an email earlier this week with some songs that we would include, and these will be the songs that we do. So maybe you have those words or that playlist, and maybe you can sing them together as a family or just let them play in your home as you're eating or going about your time. Hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. In spirit, we're singing together. And then that will be enough for today. But I want to give a blessing that was given to the priests to give to God's people when they departed as a way to maybe close this time. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.